Today's shir is Masechet Chulin Daf Tzadik Dalad. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Mishnah. It teaches us the Mishnah Shleich Adam Yeruch Leiv Kachavim. A person is allowed to send a side of meat to an Akam Shagod Hanosh V'Taychay, that the Gid Hanosh is still in it. Because you could tell that the Gid Hanosh is there, and if somebody buys receives that Gid Hanosha from the Akum, he'll be able to know, if somebody gets that side of meat from the Akum, he'll know to remove the Gid Hanosha, because it obviously was not removed. Number of points that the Mefarshim make. One is, why is our Mishnah teaching us this halacha by Akum? The halacha should be by Yisrael the same. So Mefarshim answer that by Yisrael, it's much more obvious, as the Gemara says, that when the side of the animal has been touched and there's a concern that people will get confused, wasn't the Gid Hanosha removed, that certainly you're not allowed to give it to Yisrael, because it's this issue of lifnei evil esita mechshol. Teaches us the Mishnah that not only is that halacha by a Jew, but it's even by a goy. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that the Mishnah, as the Gemara will teach us, is coming to teach us the very important rule, which we're going to spend quite a while speaking about in the Gemara, that the Isra of Geneva Stas, of fooling an Akum, doesn't only apply by Jew. You're not allowed to fool a Goy either. And that's why this important lesson is taught through an Akum. Mefarsh also discuss that there's a din. The Torah says, Laisichonim. And one of the pshatim that the Gemara says regarding leisichonim is leisitim lehem matnas chinam. One may not give an akum, just a gift. So how does our Mishnah teach the shaleich adam yerach lev kachavim that you're sending him this piece of meat? Why is there no issue of leisichonim? So I saw two answers. One answer is that we're not speaking about a case, we're just giving him a gift for no reason. Certainly when you give an akum a gift where you have something to gain, it's mutter. Another pshat is that the entire Issa of Leisichonim was only said regarding Akum who are Oivdei Avodah Zarah. But if the Akum is not Oivdei Avodah Zarah, the din of Leisichonim does not apply. And that's the Akum of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is actually used as a raya to an issue that we haven't really discussed that much in our Perek of Gid Hanosha. And that is, the question is, certainly we know that one may not eat the Gid Hanosha. The question is the Gid Hanosha osa bahano or not? May one benefit from the Gid Hanosha? And our Mishnah is used as a raya that perhaps that Gid Hanosha is not osa bahano. Because if it was osa bahano, how could you send a piece of meat that has the Gid Hanosha in it to an akum? But there are many that do hold that the Gid Hanosha is osa bahano. So the question is, according to those opinion that the Gid Hanosha is osa bahano, how do we understand our Mishnah? So they explain, I saw the Mefarshim explain very nicely. We've learned many times in our Perek that the Gid Hanosha is what's osur. The Shuman HaGid, the fat that comes off the Gid, is not osur medaraisa. The Gemara many times used the wording, El Yisrael Kedoshim Nagu Be'isr. Klal Yisrael have accepted midrabanon, or maybe even just the minig, not to eat it. So indeed, the Mefarshim suggest, were you to sell an akum or give an akum meat that only had the Gid Hanosha in it, the Gid Hanosha is also bahana. Here you're giving him, as the Mishnah teaches us, the entire side of the animal, the Gid Hanosha and the shumen. And we also learned, and we're going to discuss it more later in the Perek, that the Gid Hanosha has no time really to it. So now it's very geschmack. You're giving the Akum a side of meat. It has in it Gid Hanosha and it has in it Shuman. The Gid Hanosha has no value. What has value? The Shuman. But the Shuman is only awesome with Rabbanon or even less the Rabbanon. That everybody agrees is Mutar Bahana, and therefore there's no issue. One more nice discussion that they have regarding the Mishnah. The question that the Paiskim discuss is, if there's something that I, as a Jew, may not do, am I allowed to ask an Akum to do it for me? For example, the Torah teaches us leisach mishar b'dishai, that when you work with an animal, you're not allowed to muzzle it. The Torah teaches us when you work with animals, you're not allowed to work with klaim, two different species. Could I ask an akum to work with an animal and muzzle it, or two different animals? So the many poskim say it's asur. If I'm not allowed to do it, to circumvent the isur by asking an akum to do it on my behalf is certainly asur. But if that's the case, asked the Mefarshim, then why in our Mishnah am I allowed to give an Akum Giranosha that he'll eat? If I'm not allowed to eat the Giranosha, then I shouldn't be allowed to give an Akum to eat the Giranosha. So I saw two terutzim to this question. One answer to the question is, when is there a halacha I'm not allowed to ask an Akum to do something that I may not do myself? Is when I have benefit and he doesn't. So I asked the Akum to work in my field with the animal and muzzle the animal. So the Akum's not gaining from that. I'm gaining from it. So using an Akum to circumvent an Isser that I will benefit is Asser. Here, the Akum is the one that's benefiting. He'll get the chance to eat the Giranosha. That's why it's Mutter. Rick Vega says the same type of art a little deeper. He says, we know that many times in Shasta there's a discussion, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. And we pass an Ein Shliach L'Dvar Aveira. But he says, even according to the opinion that holds Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Aveira, that if I ask somebody to do an Advar Aveira on my behalf, it's considered as if I did it. There are two situations where it won't be that way. Where Achila, by something that involves eating something that you're not allowed to eat, or by Advar Erva. Why, says Ricky Vega? Because he says, what is the point of achila? What is the point of dvar erva? There's a pleasure involved. He says it's inconceivable to say that somebody else will have the pleasure of eating or the erva, and I should get the aveira. So here we're talking about eating. By eating, certainly it can never be attributed to the sender. It's always attributed to the person that's actually eating. And if it's the akum that's eating, and the akum is allowed to eat giranasha, there's no problem. An introduction to the Gemara. Just to put it into frame of reference, the world that was in the time of Chazal would meet. The way it was in the time of Chazal would meet was that they didn't have butcher shops and they didn't have big slaughterhouses. Typically, in a town, small town, and they didn't have refrigerators. In a small town, there would be a butcher, who was usually a Jew, who would shech the meat, or have somebody shech the animal on his behalf. And hopefully the meat would come out kosher. Great. But sometimes the animal wasn't kosher. So what happens when the animal is not kosher? So there are two types of towns. The way the Gemara categorizes these two types of town, one is a makam hamachrizim, and one is makam she'ein machrizim. What does that mean? What that means is as follows. Certain towns, you were never allowed to buy meat from an akum. Why? Because when they had non-kosher meat, they would sell it to the akum. And you don't know, when you buy meat from an akum, was it a kosher, was the meat that they had kosher, or meat that they had not kosher, and the akum is selling you there for non-kosher meat. So in such a place, you can never buy meat from a goy. Then, there was another type of town, Makam HaMachrizim. Makam HaMachrizim was a town that indeed they sold meat. They had non-kosher meat, and on a day that they had non-kosher meat, they would make an announcement that everybody should know that there's non-kosher meat in the market that was sold or given to the Akum, and that day I can't buy from the guy. Every other day I can buy from the guy. Again, the Rishonim already make the point that in our world this wouldn't have worked. Because in our world we have refrigerator and freezers. So you can't know if it's old meat or new meat. In those days, there was no refrigerator or freezers. So you could tell if the meat was fresh or old. So the way most Rishonim explain, Makam HaMachrizim, because they wanted to have a way of disposing of the non-kosher meat, but not disrupting the entire commerce, they specifically created a situation of announcing when they had non-kosher meat, and then they would sell that meat to the goy, and every other day you could buy from the goy. The Ramban has a little different approach. He says normally you could buy meat from a goy because roi behemus are kasheris. Most animals are kosher. There is a meat that maybe of nevelis, that the Akum has nevela meat, but we don't have to follow the meat. But in a place where we had a non-kosher animal, so we have two meats, meat of nevelis and a meat that this animal is non-kosher, that's why we need to be concerned. But we're going to work with the other approach. So again, now we begin the Gemara. Amishta said you could sell, you could give to the Akum a whole side of the animal, shleima in chatuchalai. Ask the Gemara, Maya Skinan. What type of town are we discussing? Ask the Gemara. Ilev and Makam She'emach Rizin. If we're talking in a place where no announcements are made. And therefore, since no announcements are made, we can never take meat from a guy. Chatuch namelishdalai. So let's sell him even, give him even chopped up meat. What are we worried that you're going to take the meat from the Akum, thinking that the Giranosha was removed when it wasn't? It's a Makam She'emach Rizin. You don't take meat from Akum in such a town. Dolay Asalam Izbimene. You never buy meat from an Akum such a city. Ella, we're going to say it for Makam She'emach Rizin, that it's a place where they do make announcement. And therefore, in such a city, you may end up buying meat from an Akum. Asking them if that's the case, Shleiman Namilay Lijdalay. Why can we sell him a whole side with the Giranosha in it? Why not be concerned that you sold him the whole side on a day where there was no announcement made, so you know you could buy from the Akum, and the Akum will take that side of meat, cut it up, and you'll think that the Giranosha was removed when it really wasn't. Shleim and Noilami Lishdalei. Why not be concerned the Chatechlei that the Akum will cut up that side of meat, or Masmenlei, and you'll end up buying it, not realizing that it still has the Giranosha in it? Answers the Gemara. Ibai Seven Makish Mechrizen. Our Mishnah could have explained in a place that they do make announcements, and therefore it's a city where normally you may buy meat from a guy. Vibai Seim and Makush Emach Rizin, or our Mishnah could be explained in a city where meat may normally not be bought from an Akum. And the Gemara explains. Vibai Seim and Makush Emach Rizin. It's a city that is, you do sell meat, they do sell meat to guy, and you're allowed to buy meat from a guy. Since you're allowed to buy meat from the guy, what are we concerned that the guy is going to cut it up and you won't be able to tell and you'll think that the Giranosha was removed when it wasn't? Says the Gemara, when a guy cuts up meat, you could tell that the Giranosha wasn't removed. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara is as follows. We, when we cut up a side of the animal, even though, as I said yesterday, we don't really work with the back half of the animal, but they obviously did. So we have to get out the entire Giranosha. The Gemara says, Mechatet Achrav. We have to completely remove it. Since we have to completely remove it, there's a specific way of taking out those veins. And you could tell. An Akum Taka may cut up the side of the meat, but he's not looking to chop it up to get out the Giranosha. So it's obvious that it was not, that even if the Akum cuts it up, you still will be able to tell it wasn't the Judah cut it up. And therefore, you'll know to be concerned that the Giranosha is still there. And Rashi takes this a step further. Even though the Gemara, Mitzvah Shem, in tomorrow's daf, will talk, and coming daf, we'll talk about when you buy meat from an Akum, it has to be properly wrapped or labeled, otherwise you have to be concerned. When you buy the back half of an animal, the thigh, you could buy it from the Akum, and you can know it's kosher or not. How could you know? You could see how it was cut up. If it was cut up halakhically proper, the way we cut it up, it's different than the way they cut it up. And if you buy meat from an Akum, and it was cut up the way we cut up meat, that's enough of a siman kashrus. And the Rishonim take Rashi's vart one step further, that even though the Akum knows all of this, and therefore perhaps the Akum could cheat and cut it up in a way that to fool you, that you'll think it was a Judah cut up the meat, when actually it was an Akum, says the Rajba. The Rajba says this already. Hilchas Kashrus doesn't require you to be worried about that kind of concern. If the Gemara established that we cut up meat different than the Akum cut up meat, and therefore if the meat is cut up our way, we could assume it's kosher, we need not be concerned anymore. And actually, it's relevant to Mon Kashrus, Because if you think about a kosher symbol, so you also could always say it's not a big deal to print the kosher symbol. So why is a kosher symbol a valid kashrus, simon kashrus? If anybody could just make it, you don't need more than a computer or a printing machine. Or it's very simple. The same Rashba. If Chazal established that it's a valid simon kashrus, we don't have to start being concerned that maybe somebody cheated. Ibai Seima, B'makom She'en Machrifim. Our Mishnah is speaking about a place where they don't sell. We need to be concerned that this is a place where it's not normally, we don't buy meat from Akum. But I see, I'm witnessing a Jew giving the Akum this meat. And therefore, since I see the Jew giving the Akum the meat, I'm going to think that's kosher meat. And therefore, because I'm going to think it's kosher meat, I'm going to take it from the Akum. And therefore, because of that, it has to be only a whole side. So the obvious question that all the Rishonim ask, if this is a Makom She'en Machrizim, and we explained at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, that if it's a Makom She'en Machrizim, you're never allowed to buy meat from an Akum, or you're never allowed to take meat from Akum. So what's the difference if I see you giving the Akum the meat? I'm still not allowed to buy meat from an Akum. So how do we understand the Mishnah? So the halach ought to be that I could even give him a cut-up piece of meat, or a whole piece of meat, it shouldn't make a difference. So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer in the Rishonim is that, and that's referring to a situation where I saw a Jew giving the Akum the meat, and the Jew, in order to fool the Akum, and we're going to speak about this a lot in a moment, told him it's kosher. So I heard the Jew telling the Akum it's kosher. So I assume it's kosher meat. But the Jew is lying. He knows that kosher meat is more valuable than non-kosher meat. So he's saying it to the Akum even though it's not true. But I won't realize that. So that's why Chazal said, don't take meat that doesn't have, that's cut up. One pshat. Another pshat, what's the difficulty with this pshat? That means we're referring to a situation where a person said a blatant lie. He said it's kosher when it isn't. That's referring to a situation that the halach is that when a Jew gives meat to an Akum, he's supposed to say it's treif, if it's treif. And I didn't hear the Jew say it's treif. So I will come to make the wrong assumption that it's kosher and take it from the Akum. Therefore, to avoid that problem, you're not allowed to give him meat that's cut up. Ibai Seima, Mishin Degonav Leiladate. And I saw a Gevaldige Ra'ah, Razarishin. The Ra'ah says like this, throughout Shas, almost every daf in Shas, we have Ibai Seimas. Says the Ra'ah, when you normally have an Ibai Seima, doesn't mean that the new Teretz argues on the previous Teretz. Another teretz. It doesn't mean that they're specifically arguing. Here says the Ra, the Ibayis Eim is arguing. Why? Because the Ibayis Eim is dissatisfied with the teretz that we just gave. Because the teretz that we just gave had the problem that we just explained, the Rishonim all asked, that if it's a Makom She'en Machrizim, you're not allowed to take meat from a goy. So what are we worried about? So that's why the Gemara gives a new teretz. The concern here is because of Gneivas Das. Why? The Akum sees you give him cut up meat. You didn't remove the Goyim Nasha. But the Akum doesn't know that, and he's not an expert. And he's going to say to himself, wow, this person, this Jew, so interested in treating me nicely that before he gave me the meat, he took out the Goyim Nasha. And it's not true. So to avoid being Goyim of Das, to avoid fooling somebody, fooling the Akum, Chazal said, don't give him any cut up meat that may come to Gneivas Das. Dharmashmu, also looking at Das Habrius, you're not a fool somebody, but feel a Data Shavu Kachavim. So the Rishonim point out that, first of all, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, if the Issa Gneivas Das is Issa Daraisa or Issa Drabon. Furthermore, we're going to learn in our Gemara, the Rishonim ask, that certainly you're not allowed to sell somebody something with false information. So what's Shmuel telling us? And the question is really a stronger question, because the Gemara is going to say that it's not necessarily that that's what Shmuel said. If it's a Brice that says you're not allowed to sell an Akum anything that's you're not allowed to fool an Akum. So the Rishonim answer. Certainly when you sell somebody something and you lie about what you're selling, That's Gnevas Das. And it's Asur. But what's Al Gemara speaking about? Shaleach, that you sent it, you gave it to him for free. So you would think, I didn't cheat anybody, I didn't take money that doesn't belong to me, I'm not getting any money in return. So there maybe shouldn't be an Isser of Gnevas Das. Teaches us the Gemara that even then, there's an Isser of Gnevas Das. Even by an Akum. And I saw Gvaldi Gachuv for Ramosha. Ramosha says that an Akum doesn't have to have a mezuzah. On the contrary, L'chatchil an Akum shouldn't have a mezuzah. But, you know, there are many goyim that see the mezuzahs on our houses and they know it's a shmira, so they want a mezuzah on their house. So the question is, so an Akum comes to you to buy a mezuzah, to receive a mezuzah, are you allowed to give him a posel of mezuzah? He says, chas v'shalom. Even if you're giving it to him, not selling it to him, you're not allowed to give him a posel of mezuzah. Why? Because our Gemara says, you're not allowed to be going of das. Says the Gemara, v'had Shmuel, la b'feirish etma emachlal etma. Shmuel didn't say this explicitly, but we see it from an episode. Says the Gemara, the Shmuel have a alva b'mavra. Shmuel was going ferried over the river. Amalei l'shavmei, and there was a non-Jewish person taking care of the boat. Amalei l'shavmei, so he said to his assistant, paisa l'maburei. Pay him. Paisa, so he paid him the ikbit. And Shmuel was upset. Asked him my time at Ikbid, why was he upset at his assistant? Omar Abaya, Tana girl is Trefa Havoy, V'yavne Memar Deshchuta. Chassam Sofer says that two pshatim in Rashi. One pshat is that the animal, the bird was Treif, but he gave it to the non-Jewish sailor, and he didn't tell him it's Treif. So the guy thought that what kind of a chicken is a Jew giving him? A kosher chicken. So that he was upset because you were going of das. You made a misimpression. Another pshat that Rashi says is that he lied to him that it was a non-kosher chicken, and he told him that it was kosher. Rav Amar, the reason Shmuel was upset, and Fanka Amalei Leshkuye, he told him to give him undiluted wine as payment. So again, he fooled him. He thought he was getting undiluted wine, and he got diluted wine. So Gemara asked the following question now. Throughout Shas, whenever the Gemara uses this wording, Baha that we learned is not beferish, it's only mechlala, we learned from an incident. The Gemara says to say, so that's why it's not a compelling proof. So ask the Gemara, this story is pretty clear that Shmuel holds the Gnevas Das of an Akum is Asur. So what's the difference if he said it explicitly or we learn it from this story? So if we only learn it from his story, isn't the story pretty strong proof that you're not allowed to be going if das of an akum? Says it isn't proof. It isn't the proof that the Shmuel was upset as attendant for fooling the akum. You know why he was upset as attendant? How did you have a tray for chicken? How did you keep a trip of chicken in your possession? You're supposed to get rid of it right away. And Lamanda Omar Amfka Amalishuye, when he told him Amfka, he meant Amfka Chayimashma. So he was upset at him not because he fooled the Akum, he was upset at him for not listening to his command, to what he told him to do. But we don't know yet that you're not allowed to be going of das. But we'll see soon that you're not allowed to be going of das, certainly. So the Gemara goes in. Fascinating sugya to the sugya of Gnevas Das. Tanya Remeya Omer, Ayisav Onim L'Chaveri L'Sar Atzloi. A person shouldn't ask somebody to come to eat by him. Miyadei by Shein Esayid. And he knows that you're going to refuse my invitation. I shouldn't invite you when I know that you're not going to accept my invitation. So obviously the question here is a very serious question. After we learned this Gemara, anybody who ever made a simcha sent out invitations, certainly to people they knew weren't going to come to the simcha. You send an invitation to somebody who lives in Israel and isn't such a close friend or relative, is certainly not coming. So how can you invite him when you know he's not coming? So there are many answers given to this question. The simplest answer, and this is the halach lemaisa, is that you're not allowed to sarev. What does the Gemara say, lo yisarev? The Gemara should say, lo yazmin, lo yishlach. So the Paiskim all say it means you can't send them many invitations. But to send one invitation, that's fine. So if you're sending only one invitation, you're not calling the person when you know he's not coming, that's not usher. Another teretz is that if it's to show the person covet, that I thought of you, even though I know you can't come, but I thought of you and I'm sending you an invitation, it's mutter. Another teretz is, yes, the person's not coming. But even though he's not coming, he's going to get insulted if you didn't invite him. Then you're allowed to invite him. And a fourth teretz that I saw is anything that creates shalom in the world, then this gemara doesn't apply. So yes, I invite you. And yes, I know you're not coming. But I know that maybe we don't always get along so well. And now I invite you to the wedding. You say, wow, he really considers me a friend. He's making a simcha and he's inviting me. And that creates more shalom than it's mutter. Furthermore, the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that if it's a situation where I don't know if you'll accept my invitation or not, that's fine. The Gemara is only referring specifically to a situation where I know you will not accept my invitation. And the entire subject of Geneva Stas, a very important issue. I saw some interesting tshuvas on this whole subject. The Shevet Alevi from Volzner has a very interesting tshuva. There's somebody collecting funds for tzedakah. And we know there are different causes that get people to give more, better or weaker donations. So somebody's collecting for a cause that he knows that this person he's asking from is not into that kind of a cause. So he's asking for tzedakah money, but he changes the cause. He says it's aser. It's Geneva Stas. Ramesh has a very interesting tshuva. He has, and other Paiskim have the similar tshuva. Unfortunately, people who are older, their chances of getting jobs diminish. So let's say you have a person who already has a white beard or a gray beard. And if he's going to come for a job interview and the prospective employer sees him with a gray beard, his chances of employment are weak. So the question is he allowed to dye his beard? So certainly, I'm not going into the issue of layilbash, if a man is allowed to dye his beard under any circumstances. It's a separate issue. Ramesh says there's another element here, the Geneva Stas. You're trying to fool this person to believe you're younger than you really are. Where is there a question? The question is on the reverse situation. Let's say somebody's really young, but his beard turned white prematurely. It's not a question as could he color his beard? Because then you'll get a picture of his real age. That's a different shaila. Then I saw, again, the fascinating tshuvas. The Tzitz Eliezer has a very interesting tshuva. Somebody wrote a report, writing a report in school. And it's not a report that anybody's going to really, it's a high school report. It's not a report that anybody's going to really base any important decisions on. And he wants to get a good grade on his report. So he makes up some facts, he makes up some numbers to make the report sound better or look better. He says it's Geneva Stas. It's Geneva Stas of the teacher. The teacher is going to give you a better mark, thinking that you did all this research and came up with all these conclusions, and they're all not true. Even though it doesn't hurt anybody, but Geneva Stas is usher. Continues the Gemara. V'layibala v'takruvis, nor should you offer a person a gift, v'yedeibai, Shayim Kabul, that this is the person who will refuse a gift. So where did Rashi and the Mashah explain the Gemara as follows? They used to have barrels of wine at home. So an open barrel is much less valuable than a whole barrel. So you have a guest, and he comes to your home, and you open a closed barrel. The guest thinks to himself, wow, he opened the closed barrel in my honor. But it really wasn't in his honor. He already had the barrel sold. So he was going to open it anyway. He had wine from that barrel sold. But you didn't disclose that to your guest. So he thinks that you're giving him something that's much more valuable. So you're not allowed to do it. V'layayim alay soich shemep nei pach reken. Nor may tell him that use oil. And there's really, I offer you to smear with oil when there's nothing in here. And the Rishonim make a point. In the previous case, where there is wine in the barrel, but I know you're not going to take it. So there, I'm allowed to ask you once to do it, as we said before. In a case where the barrel is empty, then I'm not allowed to even do it once. Because it's an outright lie. But anything that's done to show covet is mutter. Ask the Gemara, any ula ikla be Rabbi Yehuda, ula came to Rabbi Yehuda, pasuklai, chavis emchuris. He opened him a barrel that was already sold, so he was sort of misleading him. Gives the Gemara two terutzim. One terutz says, he let him know that it was sold, so I'm not giving you something that's more than you think. Bibai say, Mishani Ula, the Chavalei Le Rabbi Yehuda. Ula was a very, was somebody that Rabbi Yehuda respected. The Balav Hachadami Pasum Eftale, which means as follows. Indeed, this barrel that he gave him wine from, he wasn't taking the loss, because it was already sold. But that wouldn't have made a difference. Even if he didn't have a sold barrel, he would have opened up a new barrel in the honor of Ula. So the fact that he was lucky that he had a barrel sold doesn't change that he doesn't have to tell him. Tana Rabbanan, Layelach Anu L'Beis HaAvel. In those days, the minig apparently was, the Mefarshim explained, that when somebody came to the house of an Avel, they would bring wine. The Pasuk says, Tnu Yain L'Mari Nefesh. They would bring wine. So here's somebody who's coming to visit an Avel. V'yadu Lavan Hamskashish. He has a barrel that's somewhat empty. And the Ovel thinks, wow, he came with a whole barrel of wine that's really half empty. And again, Mefarshim explained, they used to mix all the wine together, so the Ovel will really never know that I only brought a half a barrel, but that's what I did. Or he puts in water, again, without the Ovel knowing. Again, because it's Gnevis Das. Miesham Chavi'ir Mota. A number of Pshatim in the Mefarshim, what's Pshat Chavi'ir? One Pshat Chavi'ir in the Mefarshim is that if it will be it will show cover to the oval that somebody bothered to bring wine to his house and the oval will receive honor this way, it's mutter. Another pshat that I saw is if the person that's coming to Menachem Oval is a very distinguished individual. And if people see that this distinguished individual brought a barrel of wine to this oval, it'll be a great honor to the oval, so then you're doing honor for the oval and it's mutter. Tanabon, Layimka Adam Lechaveri Sandal Shamesa, somebody shouldn't sell to someone else a shoe made out of leather of an animal that died by itself, Bechlal Shalchai Shchuta, under the false pretenses that it was an animal that was slaughtered, Mnei's based Varm, for two reasons. Echo Mnei Shemesayu, he's fooling him. He says that it's an animal that is this way, and it's really another way. Because they felt that the animal that died by itself, there's venom perhaps in that leather that could harm the person that's wearing it. You shouldn't sell to someone barrel wine. The shemit tzafal piyu, it has oil on the top. He brought him wine with oil on the top. The person that received it assumed that the entire barrel had wine in it. The zimin la'archim, and he invited guests, assuming that he has plenty of oil to offer them. And then he saw that it didn't have all that oil. The nimtza menichnasu, they came, and then they started taking from that barrel. And matzah shel yain, that it isn't full of oil. He killed himself out of embarrassment. Says the Gemara along the same lines. If you're invited to someone's home and he serves you, you have to be very careful not to give any of that food even to the children of the person who invited you. Certainly, the Rishonim say, you're not allowed to give it to someone else who wasn't invited and isn't part of the household. The chiddush of the Gemara here is that these are his children, so he's feeding his children anyway. You're not allowed to give it to the children. Why? MK not lushusmi balabayis, unless you have permission. The Rishonim do want to say that if it's a situation where it's obvious to you that this balabayis is a wealthy man and doesn't make a difference, maybe it's different. Mars has an unbelievable story. Somebody invited three guests in a hungry year. And the person who did the inviting was had nothing. It was a difficult time. He had three eggs, shalosh peyim, babinosh balbais, and the son of this balbais comes in, not echmen chalke. So one of the guests went, took his egg for nasanloi, and gave it to this child. Bechen sheni, so did the second guest. Bechen shlishi, so did the third guest. Ba avishal tinak, and the child, the father comes, matza she Isaac echabepiv. He's holding one egg in his mouth. V'shtayim biyadai. He has two eggs. Where do you have all these three eggs from? He got all upset. Chot b'kakemes. And he hit the child, and the child passed away. Kimish rosa ima. The mother saw this terrible tragedy, that the father hit the child, and the child died. Os l'gag v'naflamesh. She committed suicide. Now when this father sees what's going on, his son he killed, his wife committed suicide, he couldn't bear it. Afhu olul gag v'naflamesh. And he committed suicide. Says the Gemara, Amar Blaz ben Yaakov, Adov Zen Ner Gimel Nefash Yisrael. This episode called the three Jewish people should die. This is from my commission. What's Rabbi Blaz Yaakov telling us? That the Brisa doesn't tell us that you're not allowed to give to the child without permission? The Kula Rabbi Blaz ben Yaakov. I saw a number of pshat on what the Gemara means to say Kula Rabbi Blaz ben Yaakov. One pshat is that the first two pshatim are almost opposite of each other. We know throughout Shas, you don't have a lot of times Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov quoted, but when he is, he has what to say. So we're trying to say that this Braisa represents his opinion, and we should certainly follow it. The other pshat is just the opposite. The other pshat is that the Braisa only represents the opinion of one Tana, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Nobody else agrees, and we don't necessarily have to follow it. A third pshat is that the story that the Gemara quotes happened in a hunger year. So in a hunger time, we could understand that the person you're eating by has limited amount and you shouldn't be giving it away. But what about in a non-hunger time? Maybe then we don't have to be so concerned. It teaches us Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov that the halacha is not this way only in a time of hunger, even in a time of non-hunger. You don't give away the food that you were given. It's not yours to give away. And I saw the Paiskim say, a very interesting psak, that if you come to a simcha, come to an affair, you shouldn't take food. Because maybe the person who's making the affair so he invited you to eat at the affair, but he didn't invite you to take food home. And maybe he's counting on that food to have supper tonight or to have meals. So buy a bris mealer with a minig is to take, so maybe it's different, especially if they give out bags. So he's sort of speak telling you take. In another situation where he isn't telling you to take, you have no right to take. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that you have to be careful to know that if you're coming to a place where there may not be enough food, not to come or not to eat, because you could cause terrible embarrassment, and look what happens. Continues the Gemara. Tana Abanan. If you send a whole side of the animal to someone else, ain't tzarich shi'itam mena gidanasha. You don't have to remove the gidanasha. Chatuch, but if it's cut up, tzarich litl mena gidanasha. Uvav kachavim, we ask by an akum, ben chatuch ben shleima, it doesn't make a difference, ain't tzarich litl mena gidanasha. You need not remove the gidanasha. Continues the braisa, umnei based from amru, for two reasons that Chazal teach us, ein marcha nevel to treves levi kachavim, you shouldn't sell nevel to treves to goy. Echad b'mneishem aseyu. One is because you fool him, because he'll think that you sold him kosher meat when it's really non-kosher. Gnevistas, and like I said, here it's worse because he's paying for what he's not getting. Echad shem yachsvi in kerenu Yisrael. Acher, he may sell it to a Jew who thinks it's kosher when it isn't. Furthermore, you shouldn't ask a guy to buy meat on your behalf for two reasons. Echad, you're afraid that the guy will take the meat without paying for it, or some rishonim say even if he pays, but he won't pay the whole price. Echad, maybe they'll sell him non-kosher meat, and now a Jew will come to buy from him. And now the Gemara begins to analyze the brisa. Amar, Obayv kachavim, by a goy, ben shleima ben chatucha, whether it's whole or not, Ein tzach litle menigaranasha. We need not remove the begiranasha. Going back to what we discussed at the beginning of Shir, ask the Gemara. The Maiskinen, what kind of a situation are we referring to? If it's a place that they make an announcement when there was non-kosher meat, and therefore that day you know not to buy from the Akum. Every other day you do buy from the Akum. So the question is, Chatucha, am I ain't tzarech litum and granosha? Why, when we're not giving the Akum or selling the Akum, the whole side of the meat, need we not be concerned? Kim deloy achris. Obviously, today is a day where there was no announcement made. Let's think about why. Because if an announcement was made that there's non-kosher meat, so there's nothing to worry about. I'm not taking it from the guy. The guy's allowed to eat granosha. So, obviously, today there was no announcement. If today there was no announcement, I'm going to buy meat from the guy. So, aslam izbiminei. I'm going to buy meat from the guy, and I'm going to think that it was removed when it wasn't. El pshita, we're referring to a situation of makom shemachrizim. And as we said at the beginning of the shir, what does it mean when the Gemara says makom shemachrizim? In such a place, you're never allowed to buy meat from a guy. Or you're never allowed to take meat from a guy. So ask the Gemara if that's what the Braisa is talking about. Eve mitziyasa, let's continue learning the Braisa. The Braisa said, "Bnei shnei dvarim amru ein moichem nevelus utreifus loiv kachavim." There were two reasons Chazal said that we may not sell nevelus and treifus to an akum. Echad, one was Bnei shemateu. You're fooling him that he thinks that it's kosher when it actually isn't. Ve'echad shemiyachse imekrenel yisrael achra. You're concerned that a Jew may end up buying it from him, and under the assumption that it's kosher when it really isn't. But ask the Gemara, if we just established that the Brice is referring to a situation, she'ei machrizim, so we said, in a mokum she'ei machrizim, lo yosu l'mizmedei, you never buy meat from him. So what's the concern? That you're selling the meat. He thinks it's kosher. And therefore he's going to sell it to another Jew. And that Jew is going to be buying non-kosher meat with the assumption that it's kosher. In this place, we never buy meat from a non-guy. It's a mokum she'ei machrizim. Ella, we have to explain that this Braisa is talking about Shemachrizim. Now let's continue the Braisa. Aim is safer, the Braisa continued, L'yayim adam loiv kachavim, a person shouldn't tell an akum, kachli b'din azeh basar, buy for me meat, v'nei shnei dvarim, for two reasons. Echom nei anosim, we're afraid that the guy is not going to pay the merchant, or pay him what he's supposed to get paid. V'echot shem emarchal in the veils for treifus. Maybe he's going to sell him non-kosher meat, and we're going to end up buying the meat from him. We're going to end up buying the meat from him, thinking that it's kosher when it's really not. But ask the Gemara, if we've just established that this Bryce is talking about machrizim, if there was treifa meat in the market, everybody would know there's non-kosher meat in the market, and nobody's going to buy meat from the Akum. So what are we concerned? That somebody's going to sell him non-kosher meat, and then you're going to buy it from him, thinking that it's kosher. You know it's not kosher because the announcement was made that there's non-kosher meat in the market. And as we said at the beginning of this year, whenever there's non-kosher meat in the market, we don't buy meat from Akum, period. So that concern should fall away. Ella, how must we explain? It's talking about Makom She'ei Machrizim. And why, if it's Makom She'ei Machrizim, will I take? Because it's talking in a case, like we said before, that something happened, Rashi explains, that I didn't hear the announcement. Or that there was no time for making an announcement. But as the Gemara, the way we just established, we have a very big difficulty with the Braisa. Reishiv is safe for explaining, is talking about a Makom She'ei Machrizim. And the same Mitziyasa explaining is talking about Makom She'ei Machrizim. How do we understand the Braisa that way? Amar Baya, so Baya says, I have no other option. In. Reishiv is safe. We're going to have to say he's talking about Makom She'ei Machrizim. Tziyas is talking about Makom She'ei Machrizim. There is no other way to explain the Braisa. Rav Amar, Rav says no. Kula Makom She'ei Machrizim. We'll explain the entire Braisa talking about a Makom She'ei Machrizim, and that's why you're allowed to buy from the Akum. So as we learned, Reishiv is safe for Shechrizu. Tziyas is Shlo Echrizu. That they're supposed to make an announcement, but for whatever reason they didn't make an announcement that day, and that's why you'll think that you're allowed to buy when you're not. So because of that, Chazal made this rule. Rav Ashi doesn't like that teretz. Why doesn't Rav Ashi like that teretz? Because if we're going to be concerned that they're not following the system, then there's no point in the system. And therefore he says, Kul b'makom she'emach reason. So if it's makom she'emach reason, what shot in the mitziyosai? Gzeira shem yikrenem b'fnei Yisrael. We're concerned that the case that we spoke about at Raman Aleph, where the Akum gets the meat from a Yisrael and another Yisrael sees him, and there, as we explained, I don't have time to repeat it, there's more concern. Ask the Marhechemach reason, how is an announcement, in the places where announcements were made, how were those announcements made? Omer of Yitzchak by Yosef, Nofla Bisrael b'nei Chela. There's meat that's available, that's good for the Akum. Ask the Gemara, why is the announcement not more explicit that the meat is not kosher? So tomorrow, Lezvina, if they're going to announce that the meat is treif, it has a negative connotation and the Akum won't buy it. If it doesn't say kosher, they don't care. But if it says non-kosher in black word letters, that's a turnoff. Ask tomorrow for kamatelu. But if you don't make the announcement so explicitly, aren't you fooling the Akum? Ask tomorrow. You're not allowed to fool an Akum. But if an Akum makes a mistake on his own, that isn't considered Geneva Stas. And the Gemara brings such an incident. He was traveling from Sikra to Memechuza. And Rav and Rav Safra were traveling. Paga Adadi. So they met each other. Who suffer? Lapuhu de Kasi. They thought that they came out to greet him. Why did you bother to come? You didn't have to bother yourself to come greet me. We weren't aware that you were coming. Indeed, have you dinan? Had we known, we would have even given you greater respect. Rav said to Rav Safra, my tamra, amr tachi. Dachlishta that day. We didn't have to say anything. In other words, he made a mistake that they were coming to greet him. They really weren't. But it was his mistake. They didn't do anything to cause that error to be made. Why should I be allowed to do it? Aren't we fooling him? To which Rava said, so wait, Rishonim explained. Rava and Risafra are arguing, if somebody makes a mistake on his own, is that called Geneva Stas? Rava says it isn't. Risafra held, even that, where I didn't cause you to make a mistake. You made the mistake on your own. I have the obligation to correct you for having a false impression.